कुंज बिहारी कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जानवल्लभा गिरीवरधारी गोपी जानवल्लभा गिरीवरधारी यशोदनन्दना व्रजनरञ्जना यशोदनन्दना व्रजनरञ्जना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जानवल्लभा गिरीवरधारी यशोदनन्दना व्रजनरञ्जना यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतशिशिमाद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ISKCON BBT Samsthapak Acharya His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories, all glories All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga All glories to Srila Prabhupada Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नारं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाय मुदीरये नष्ट प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी सो दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, titled Prahlad, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakashipu. Can you just adjust this mic? It's echoing. Did you hear that? I don't know. Okay, so we are on text 52. Dharmam artam cha kamam cha nitaram chanu purvashaha prahradayo chatu rajan prashrita vanataya cha dharmam artam cha kamam cha nitaram chanu purvashaha prahradayo chatu rajan prashrita vanataya cha dharmam artam cha kamam cha nitaram chanu purvashaha prahradayo chatu rajan prashrita vanataya cha. Chitu Rajan Tavanataya cha Dharmam artam cha kamam cha Nitaram cha nupurvashaha Prahradayo chatu Rajan Prashrita vanataya ta. Matajis. Dharmam artam cha kamam cha kamam cha rajan prashrita vanataya cha dharmam artam cha kamam cha Nitaram chanu purvashaha Prahradayo dayo chatu rajan Prashrita vanataya cha Dharmam, mundane occupational duty. Artham, economic development. Cha, and kamam, sense gratification. Cha, and nitaram, always. Cha, and anupurvashaha, according to order, or from the beginning to the end. ప్రహ్లాదయ అంటూ ప్రహ్లాద్ మహారాజ్ ఊచతు దే స్పోక్ రాజన్ ఓ కింగ్ ప్రశ్రీత హూ ఇస్ హంబుల్ అవనతయా అండ్ సబ్మిసివ్ చా ఆల్సో Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Thereafter, Shanda and Amarka systematically and unceasingly taught Prahlad Maharaj, who is very submissive and humble, about mundane religion, economic development, and sense gratification. Purport. There are four processes for human society: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, and they culminate in liberation. Human society must follow a process of religion to advance, and on the basis of religion, one should try to develop his economic condition so that he can fulfill his needs for sense gratification according to the religious rules and regulations. Then liberation from material bondage will be easier to attain. That is the Vedic process. When one is above the stages of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, one becomes a devotee. He is then on the platform from which he is guaranteed not to fall again to material existence. Yad gatvana nivartante, as advised in Bhagavad Gita, if one transcends these four processes and is actually liberated, one engages in devotional service, then he is guaranteed not to fall to material existence again. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 52 of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale స్వయం రూప గదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వాపదంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సాగనా రఘునాథాన్వితం తాం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాన్ సాగనలలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమ ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే జాయపతాక స్వామినితి నామినే నమ ఆచార్య పదాయ నితాయ కృప ప్రదాయినే గౌరకథా దామదాయ నగర గ్రామ ధారినే నమ ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే గోపీపరానదన దాసే ఇతి నామినే నమ ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే వాంచాకల్పతృభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ముఖం కరోతి వాచాళం పంగుం లంగాయతే గిరిం యత్క్రీపతమహం వందే శ్రీగురుదినతారినం యత్క్రీపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీచైతన్య ఈశ్వరం జాయతాం సురతు పంగోర్మమ మందమతేర్గతి మత్సర్వస్వ పదం భోజౌ రాధా మదన మోహనౌ దివ్యాద్ వృందారణ్య కల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమద్రత్నాగార సింహాసనస్థో శ్రీమద్రాదాశల గోవింద దేవో ప్రిష్టాలిభి సేవ్యమానో స్మరామి శ్రీమన్ వ్రాస రసారంభి వంశీ వట తటాసిత కర్షన్ వేణు స్వనైర్గోపిర్ గోపినాథ శ్రీయేస్తునా కతాంచన స్మృతే యస్మిన్ దుష్కరం సుకరం భవేత్ విస్మృతే విపరీతం స్యాత్ శ్రీ చైతన్యం నమామితం. So here in this chapter you can see the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj, Shanda and Amarka, are systematically and unceasingly, as this translation mentions, were teaching about mundane religion, economic development and sense gratification. So you can see here that these are not godly teachers, they are demoniac teachers, yet they teach the principles of dharma, artha and kama, because in ancient times it was generally accepted that even if you have to achieve sense gratification, the best way to achieve that sense gratification would be through the process of dharma and artha. So it's not unusual that even demoniac teachers are using this, because Prabhupada explained that just like a knife, it can be used by a doctor to cut somebody's stomach in an operation theater, and the same knife can be used by a thief to cut somebody's stomach. So ultimately, dharma, artha and kama, how is it being engaged? How is it being applied? Is it being applied as the end, as the all in all, or is it the path to moksha? But here it doesn't say that they were being trained for dharma, artha, kama and moksha. So you can find in the very immediate verse after this, the translation goes, again, the translation goes like this. The teacher Shanda and Amarka instructed Prahlad Maharaj in the three kinds of material advancement. Three kinds. Religion, economic development and sense gratification. Prahlad, however, being situated above such instructions, did not like them. For such instructions are based on the duality of worldly affairs, which involve one in a materialistic way of life marked by birth, death, old age and disease. Now, corresponding to these three things, there are three types of scriptures. For the dharma, process of dharma, you have what is called the dharma shastras. Then for artha, you have what is called the artha shastras. Then for kama, you have what is called the kama shastras. And then for moksha, you have what is called the moksha shastras. So corresponding to each level, there is a particular scripture. Now, Prabhupada explains in this purport that human society must follow a process of religion to advance. And this dharma, artha, kama and moksha, they are a characteristic of human society. That's why when Prabhupada would be very uncompromising in describing the modern civilization, he would call the modern civilization a deluxe version of a cat and dog's life. Now, a cat and dog's life is simply centered around eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And so Prabhupada would say modern civilization is simply a deluxe version of animal life. In fact, he was very famous for giving, for speaking this truth uncompromisingly, especially when the reporters would ask him. He would use very interesting expressions. For example, he would say, a dog's jumping is not progress. So, Prabhupada was a devotee situated on the highest platform of devotional service. What to speak of being a human being, which is much lower. And so he was dealing with an audience that was even lower than the animals. Prabhupada once said that the animals, they don't break the laws of nature. So the current humans, so current civilization, not human civilization, the current civilization is worse than the animals, because at least the animals follow the laws of nature. And so to deal with an audience like that, and to also teach the highest principle of bhakti, is not an ordinary achievement. So here we see how this is the general prescribed process, and how Prabhupada explains here that when one is above the stages of dharma, artha, kama and moksha, one becomes a devotee. So this is the standard Vedic process. You go in a very systematic manner. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So, in the process of bhakti, we do things a little differently. Let me give you an analogy. This thing is very natural, because when one is sick, this material body is an anartha. So to get out of the cycle of birth and death, one needs to systematically progress. And it's like saying, what do you mean by anartha? Something unwanted. In everyday life, suppose we fall sick. We think this is an unwanted condition. We need to get out of this condition. So when one is sick, what is the characteristic of being a sick? What is the characteristic of being sick? One feels miserable. And one cannot perform one's normal duty activities in any pleasurable manner. Even simple activities like walking becomes painful. You can't eat well. You can't do anything properly. So it is the whole normal life cycle becomes completely messed up. So, like that, when we say that the soul acquires an animated machine, whether it's a human body or whether it's an animal body, whatever, a machine in which the soul becomes situated, then it becomes a very unnatural form of life. So, it's like a diseased person. All activities are painful. So what are you supposed to do in such a condition? What do the doctors prescribe? They say, don't eat luxurious food, have a diet, have medicines, cure yourself. So how do you know you're curing yourself? You have a certain amount of pain. And then as time passes, your pain decreases. Eventually, you come to a state where you're free from disease. And only when you are free from disease, can you engage in your normal activities. You cannot engage in normal activities when you're sick. So, that's the same thing that is being explained here, that this material body is anartha. So, is disease condition. So, by following dharma, artha, kama as prescribed in the scriptures, then you come to a state of non-diseased condition. It is only then that your real life begins. And what is that real life? Life of Krishna consciousness. So it is not unusual to hear a description like this, that bhakti actually begins at the stage of moksha. However, the uniqueness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is called Mahavadanyaya. the most magnanimous incarnation. Why? Because he gave us the process of Krishna consciousness. Even if you are sick, still you can be fully happy. That's quite unusual. It's an oxymoron. What does it mean to say a blissful sick person? There's no meaning in saying a blissful sick person. So, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, that if one analyzes the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the hairs on one's body will stand on end in ecstasy. It's an astonishment. You feel that astonishment, because what Lord Chaitanya has given us is that whether you are a human being or whether you are an animal or even worse than an animal, still you can experience the full bliss of Krishna consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya has made the impossible possible, that even while you are in a disease situation, you can experience a full life of Krishna consciousness. And what is the price? You just have to take it up. So that is what bhakti does. That bhakti is, as Prabhupada mentions in one place, that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental urge of the soul. So when we hear the Bhagavatam daily, the Bhagavatam is the urge of the soul. So then you find that happiness, that inspiration, the enthusiasm to engage in the processes of bhakti. Of course, hearing Bhagavatam itself is a process of bhakti. So in bhakti, there is nothing like one thing helps you in bhakti. All things that you do in the process of bhakti are also bhakti. It's not that you have a little bit of this karma, you have a little bit of jnana. No, it's all bhakti. So this is what we need to understand, that when we say the Krishna conscious movement, when we say the Krishna conscious philosophy, it means that we are directly engaging in the activity of the soul. Then this question may come up, that we are engaging directly in the activity of the soul, which is called transcendental. What need is there for dharma, artha, kama and moksha? It's natural to wonder like that. We are engaging directly in the process of bhakti, so why do we need this? That's true, that you don't need the process of dharma, artha, kama, moksha while you're engaged in the process of bhakti. However, Burijan Prabhu explains, once during the days that he took to Krishna consciousness, he asked Prabhupada this question: devotees are transcendental, so then why do we say that devotees generally act in the mode of goodness? They're transcendental. So Prabhupada responded by saying, yes, devotees are transcendental, but generally they act in the mode of goodness. So what does generally they act in the mode of goodness mean? There is an example of the Alvars in South India. They were great devotees. There's one Alvar who was a thief, who was a dacoit, and he would steal from people and engage that wealth in the service of Krishna conscious, in the service of Krishna. And this is, he's perfectly situated on the transcendental platform. Yet his activity, I see Sri Radha Govinda Mataji smiling and laughing, because she's fully aware of that, all the fine details of that story. So literally a dacoit, literally that's what he would do. He would steal from people and engaged in the service of the Lord. This is an example of being transcendental, but yet doing something which is illegal, unusual. You can give different adjectives to that, whatever suits according to the description in your mind. But definitely, it is not acceptable from the social point of view. So, this is exactly what we need to be careful about, because after the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his later day followers, they took advantage of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that devotees are transcendental. And what did that specifically mean? They perverted the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to very great extent, that even if one performs sinful activities, whatever one does doesn't matter, because we are transcendental. I remember that during the initial days that I joined the Krishna consciousness movement, the devotees who would train me would repeatedly remind me, we are supposed to be transcendental, not transmental. So, because we may have a lot of mental concoctions, and we may justify those mental concoctions in the name of being transcendental. So, that is not the process of bhakti. So, what had happened was that the followers, later day followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had completely twisted and contorted the pure philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whom Prabhupada referred to as the pioneer of the Krishna consciousness movement, he was the first acharya who took very serious steps to rectify this anomaly. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his son, the ray of Vishnu, as Prabhupada would call him, he actually formalized it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he identified the various sahajiyas and all the different deviations in the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave it a formal structure in the form of the Gaudiya Math. And Prabhupada went one step further, and from a mutt, he created a society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And Prabhupada explains very clearly, to distinguish us from the rest of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, he explains that we are the Sarasvata Rupanugas. So we are the followers of Rupa Goswami, as given to us by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. What does that essentially mean? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur formalized the whole process of bhakti. He gave a very clear definition. What is acceptable, what is not acceptable. So this whole thing of establishing an institution and establishing the whole system of guidelines of behavior, because previously you never had the system of brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. You never had a formal structure in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the one who established it. That's why when we say we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we should immediately identify ourselves as the Saraswata Rupanugas, the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Like, that's why Prabhupada in his pranam mantra, which he coined himself, he says, Namaste Saraswate Deve. Of course, sometimes devotees pronounce it as Saraswati, but it's Saraswate. Saraswati is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. A follower of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is called Saraswata. But when you say it in a pranam mantra, you call it as Namaste Saraswate Deve. That means we are followers of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we engage in a process of bhakti in such a way that it's not contrary to the principles of dharma. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is especially very careful about this point. And even during his Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, Vraja Mandal Parikrama, when he would stay at Radha Kund, once he was giving a talk on the Upanishads. And the Babajis of Radha Kund criticized Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He was their enemy, actually, even today. Because he completely transformed the understanding of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Because the traditional understanding was, all these are human, we are transcendental, so we don't need these kind of things. So in the name of that, as Prabhupada would say, each of the Babajis would have so many women. So so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw the dangers in this, and he formalized a whole structure in which one practices Krishna consciousness. And when he was living in Radha Kund, he would give lectures on the Upanishads. And when he was criticized by the Radha Kund Babajis, he responded by saying, "One who thinks that one can stay at Radha Kund and one does not need to study the Upanishads and these things, and these are not appropriate activities while living in Radha Kund," he said, "such a person is actually living in Naraka Kund," it said. So that is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he had this typical, as they call it, the all guns blazing style of presenting Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada is equally strict. Prabhupada was generally very kind when people had sensual fall downs. People would, Prabhupada would say that, become serious now and get established properly in Krishna consciousness. But when one of his followers started going to Radha Kund, started associating with the Babajis, Prabhupada immediately sent a letter across the whole world, and he said, "So and so person has become a poisonous snake." This is Prabhupada's expression. He was extremely stringent that we follow strictly, especially he was associating with Babajis who were opposed to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So you can imagine how angry Prabhupada must have been. So Prabhupada is very particular that we in the Krishna consciousness movement strictly follow Krishna consciousness in the same manner as presented to us by Prabhupada. He was extremely uncompromising on it. When he heard that devotees were going outside the Krishna Balaram Mandir to hear classes, Prabhupada said, "Have more classes in our temple. Let our devotees not go outside." Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has given us a very clear line of demarcation how we practice Krishna consciousness. So, when we say we're transcendental, we have to be very careful that we do not engage in sinful activities. And the exact thing that was happening before the time of Bhaktivinod Thakur was, if one obtains the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Nitai Kripa Prabhe Braja Radha Krishna Pabe, somehow if one attains the mercy of Lord Nityananda, then one can attain Radha Krishna and Vrindavan. So this was how, what they would emphasize. And they would say everything else really doesn't matter as long as you obtain the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Now, sometimes you can hear the modern version of it in ISKCON, where sometimes you hear devotees say, "It doesn't matter. Do something, whatever best you can. Just hold on to Prabhupada's dhoti. We are all going back to Godhead." So the moment I hear this, immediately, I mean, I wonder, where did this come from? Because the only way to actually know Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, study my books. Nowhere ever you get this idea from Prabhupada's book that there is anything short of 100% Krishna consciousness. Never. However, Prabhupada did say, Jayapadaka Maharaj was personally there, and he mentions this story that once Prabhupada was on the Vyasasana, and as he was climbing down the Vyasasana after Guru Puja, he said, you have to be 100% Krishna conscious to go back to Godhead. And the devotees were kind of stunned, or not stunned, kind of, they didn't know how to react. Then Prabhupada said, at least you have to be 90%. Still the devotees were kind of disoriented, whatever, I don't know the exact appropriate expression. In fact, Jayapadaka Maharaj is writing a book, he has finished writing a book on the pastimes of Prabhupada. We hope to release that soon. He's mentioned this pastime there. Then he said 90%. And then again devotees were still looking at Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said 80%. Still the devotees were looking at him. And Prabhupada said 70%. Finished. And that he stopped with that. So, our Krishna conscious process, as we know, Prabhupada writes, is the signs of Bhakti Yoga. He translates Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, the signs of Bhakti Yoga. So, we have everything very clearly defined. So, we have the process from Shraddha. You begin from Shraddha and you reach the level of Prema. Now, this is a very systematic process. You start with Shraddha, initial theoretical faith, Shraddha Sangha, you associate devotees, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti. So, the only possible thing that you can measure, when you say 70%, this is the only reference that we have to measure. And if you actually calculate, it is somewhere between Ruchi and Asakti. If you say 70%, if you are perfect, 100% perfect is Krishna Prema, obviously. So when you take that 70% as the indicator, it is somewhere between Ruchi and Asakti. So, yes, Prabhupada is going to give us his dhoti to hold if we can at least come to the stage of Ruchi. And somewhere between the stages of Ruchi and Asakti, at least that much. That's my understanding when Prabhupada says 70%, because you have no other means of having a reference except this, which is the signs of Bhakti Yoga. Prabhupada explains the stages of advancement. So, while being engaged in this process of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada is given very detailed instructions in his books. The devotees, for example, the classic example is marriage. Now marriage is not an activity of bhakti. What has marriage got to do with bhakti? Nothing to do with bhakti. But it is something that can be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. Right? Because the whole concept of dharma, artha, kama, moksha is generally for householders. Artha, why do brahmacharis need artha? Prabhupada permitted marriage, not because it's a society, it's not a mutt. So he permitted marriage, and marriage is not devotional activity by definition. Marriage is something mundane, but it can be fully dovetailed in the process of Krishna consciousness. And how do we do that? So you have the whole set of Prabhupada's books, which explains very clearly how we do that. Now, if we study his book systematically, then we'll know how to do it. Because it is not that when one is a householder, householder is a license for having the best of both worlds. Sometimes it is explained like that, that you hear words like balancing material life, spiritual life, the best of both worlds. These are all completely deviant understandings of Krishna consciousness. There's no such thing as balancing your material life and a spiritual life. You've got only one life called spiritual life. So even if you are married, you're supposed to be engaging in the process of bhakti. And there is neither this thing called the best of both worlds. So you definitely, it's like a, if you try to do best of both worlds, it's like a tightrope walk, so-called tightrope. Anytime you're going to fall. And definitely, and I mean, what is it? Just like Prabhupada said, if you go back to the Brahma Jyoti, 100% you'll fall down. So like that, if you're doing this tightrope walk, unless you're blessed by the mercy of a devotee who tells you to forget the best of both worlds, you're definitely going to fall down. So the actual process of bhakti means we have only one life. We don't have a schizophrenic life. My material life, my spiritual life. No, that's not the understanding of Krishna consciousness that Prabhupada has given us. We have only one life called the life of Krishna consciousness. And in that life of Krishna consciousness, we engage whatever we do in the process of bhakti. And so it's exactly for me time to finish this lecture. I would like to end this by saying there is this book called The Four Goals of Family Life. Post Prabhupada, there have been a few classics which have come out. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Lagu Bhagavatamrita, a few books like that. And this belongs to that genre of books. 100% loyal to Prabhupada. This is written by Jagannatheshwari Mataji. She's a disciple of Prabhupada. It took her about 20 years to write this book. And the beauty of this book is that it is 100% Krishna conscious, and she has actually set the gold standard for writing a book post Prabhupada. Because what she's done is that every single thing that she speaks of in this book is thoroughly backed up by Prabhupada's own teachings. And not just thoroughly backed up when in a general sense, but actually in a proper manner. For example, there have been books which have come in our Krishna conscious, I mean, sorry, not in Krishna conscious movement. There have been books that have come post Prabhupada. For example, there is a whole deviant philosophy called Ritvikism. Now they would claim that the entirety of their teachings is coming from Prabhupada. So how do we distinguish when somebody writes a book and they claim everything is from Prabhupada? How do we distinguish? It's very simple. If you read Prabhupada's books, you'll clearly know, unmistakably, Prabhupada is a very clear writer. Prabhupada puts things in a certain manner. So you can write a book and use exclusively Prabhupada's teachings, but you should also put it together in a manner that Prabhupada himself has put it together in his books. So you cannot put together Prabhupada's teachings and come up with a conclusion that is also not explicitly there in Prabhupada's books. That's one of the, let's say, the thumb rule for testing whether something is genuine or not. It's only the thumb rule, you need to do further test. But the basic test, as they call the litmus test, first of all, whatever conclusion that you have come up with in the book, can it also be found in Prabhupada's own books? It is not that you can use Prabhupada's books, put together his teachings in a manner that he did not put together, and come up with a conclusion that you don't find in his books. That is what is called devil quoting the scripture. Devotee quoting the scripture means you put together things exactly in the manner that Prabhupada has put together, and your conclusions should also should be clearly found, not vaguely found, clearly found, explicitly found in Prabhupada's books. So that's what you find in this book. And it's very rare to find a book of this genre where somebody has done such extensive research, and every single, in fact you could say practically every single alphabet in this book is thoroughly backed up from Prabhupada's teachings. So if you want to know how devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement have to act within the parameters of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, read this book. So I'll end here, and if there are any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu. Pardon? One of the criticisms against Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he did not, oh, fantastic question. He did not offer the scope for Raganuga Bhakti. Pardon? How do you defend that? Okay. Well, this is a very big topic. Let me just, I can only skim the surface in this answer. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in fact, he used an expression that Raganuga Bhakti is actually our property. It's our property. The Sahajiyas have stolen it. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that by the process of chanting, he writes in a letter explicitly that the process of chanting, Nama will reveal Rupa, Guna, Leela systematically as one chants when advances in the chanting of Krishna consciousness. In fact, the actual foundation for this was laid by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because prior to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the understanding was Leela Smaranam, right? Because Rupa Goswami, before his disappearance, he wrote some things, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, you have Govinda Leelamrita. So the understanding was Leela Smaranam is the most important thing, right? And when you say Leela Shravanam for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it meant that you study these books. I mean, constantly. Even today you can go, when you go to Vrindavan, especially you go near the areas of Raghunath Das Goswami, Samadhi, those areas, if you go to Radhakund, then you see there, you see different Babaji, they're constantly reading something. These are all these literatures. So the emphasis was on this Leela Smaranam. So what Bhaktivinoda Thakur did was, he discovered very rare manuscripts. So he discovered a manuscript written by a follower of Haridas Thakur, a disciple of Haridas Thakur. That's why he came up with the Harinam Chintamani. And he also gave us that our baseline reference, the most authoritative scripture for us, for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He defined it very clearly. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he brought back the emphasis to chanting the holy names. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur really emphasized it. Because the emphasis of chanting the holy names was lost with respect to Leela Smaranam. Well, of course, you could say the Bhagavatam, what is the essence of the Bhagavatam? The Rasa Panchatyayi, which the five chapters dealing with the Rasa. But then, if you notice, Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, one has to have that faith. Okay, if you, let's say Shraddha to Prema, right? Each of that is corresponds to a certain degree of faith. Shraddha is the most initial level of faith, but Prema is the perfection of that faith, right? So to be eligible to hear the rasa pastimes of Krishna, you need to have the faith corresponding to Bhava and Prema. That level of faith is needed. It's not that one can have some theoretical faith and just study, and especially when one is in the stage of anartha nivritti. No way. Right? So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came and he created a whole institutional structure, not only institutional structure, even the theological structure of Krishna consciousness. He clearly defined the theological structure of Krishna consciousness very well. And by practice of Vairi Sadhana Bhakti, you seamlessly move into the platform of Raganuga Bhakti. And let me clarify one point, because I said this is a big topic. There are several things, like you have, sometimes you have a website which you have a link and then you have hyperlinks. So one immediate thing that I need to clarify is that generally there's an understanding that Raganugas don't preach. But that's not the understanding of given to us by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In fact, he gave us the understanding that if you are situated on the platform of Raganuga, you can preach the best. So, he gave us this process of seamless transition from Vaidhi to Raganuga. So, he has in fact given us the right way how to inherit the property which is ours. Does that make it clear? Of course, if you want this, if you want the references and the whole construction of it, then we can discuss separately, and that's a whole different topic. But I just gave you the essence of it. Okay, so we'll end here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.